This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Dan Cornell at DevOps World.
Howdy. I'm Dan Cornell. I'm one of the founders and the CTO of Denim Group. I'm a software developer by background, a lot of server-side Java stuff in the mid to late 90s, some early ASP.NET stuff in the early 2000s, but really over the past 15-plus years, what I've been doing is working to look at the security implications of the code that organizations are writing and deploying. And so I'm a software developer who's come into the world of security as opposed to someone with a more traditional security background as a network pen tester, as an auditor, or something like that.
You're now integrating your vulnerability test tools into Jenkins. Can you give us a bit more on that?
What our ThreadFix platform allows organizations to do is to manage their application security and their vulnerability management platforms. We've got all these teams around the world developing software, all these applications they're responsible for, and then organizations have different testing activities that they're undertaking. You know, static analysis, you know, security code review, dynamic analysis, web application fuzzing, manual testing, looking at the open source component they're using, and so on and so forth. And so what ThreadFix lets organizations do is to pull in all of these sources of data into one central location and to normalize and deduplicate that data. So it provides the security team with a single list of here's the problems you have and the priorities. And what it's done for a long time is allowed organizations then to communicate those results to their dev teams in the tools the dev teams are already using. So in their Jira or their HPALM or whatever that might be. So let's bundle these vulnerabilities that security teams care about and transition those to being software defects or technical backlog that the dev teams care about. What we are announcing at the conference this week is an updated version of our Jenkins plugin. So that addresses the other side of the equation. What that allows organizations to do is to use the Jenkins technology that they're using to run their CI/CD pipelines and to allow them to kick off security testing that gets orchestrated by ThreadFix, and then the results get fed back to Jenkins, but also then out to the defect tracking tools. Philosophically, what we're trying to do is to take the friction out from between the security teams and the dev teams. Spiritually, I think that's very in line with DevOps and DevSecOps. How do we break down barriers between these different teams so they can work toward a common goal? With the Jenkins plugin updates, what that allows them to do is for dev teams to say, I can configure this in my pipeline and say, I want to add this type of security testing. Potentially say, I want to break the build under these conditions. That's something from a maturity standpoint that organizations typically need to move up to. But then ThreadFix handles the coordination and the orchestration of the different testing technologies, pulls the results and does the consolidation, optionally does a policy review, and then communicates that back. We want to let the dev folks use the tools they're already used to using, as opposed to requiring them to get trained up and learn a lot of new tools. We're trying to take away and obscure or to abstract out that complexity for them.
What's interesting to me about this is one of the complaints against security teams is that they haven't rushed in to write unit tests. They haven't rushed in to provide us with all that automated test libraries that we need in order to speed things up. They see vulnerabilities day in, day out. They see what is coming. They see what's on the top 10 list. Yet very few developer teams actually have something that will test for a SQL injection in their code. How hard has it been to sell this then to developer teams and to security teams as actually removing that friction and providing that glue?
The first challenge is that typically the security teams are outnumbered by the development teams. Even in leading organizations, it's often a 100-to-1 ratio between developers and security folks. In most organizations, it's even worse than that. Battle of Thermopylae. The numbers are not good for security. But what we've seen is leading security teams have started to adopt things like security champions programs. How do I embed someone in a dev team or across a couple of dev teams so that they are the local resource for security questions and they can then bubble up anything larger to the central security team? That's a technique that we've found to be effective. Also, with what we're trying to do with the Jenkins plugin, we're trying to, again, to make it easier. In a lot of cases, the security teams have the testing technologies available, but they need to be operationalized. They need to be brought into the dev shop. Again, that's a challenge. How do you do this? If we can allow the dev teams to use the tools they're already using, Jenkins and whatnot, in order to drive this testing, that drives up the consumption of those tools. Again, if you look at the volume of code that's being generated on an ongoing basis in these large organizations and the size of the security staff, they're simply not going to win. They have to influence hearts and minds with the dev teams. They have to get leverage via the dev teams and the dev teams' tooling if they want to have any hope of keeping up.
Our focus is often just on that relationship between dev teams and security. But operations teams have their own role to play here. So while we're setting out what our tests are going to be, how often are you seeing security teams talking with operations to find out what is failing in an operations world?
Where there are typically good or at least passable relationships between the security teams and operations teams are in things like server patching. That's a pathway that exists in a lot of organizations. Where I think they could be much stronger is monitoring of live systems with a focus on the security relevant events. That's something where I don't think we see enough of that. I think there's a decent amount of inspection paid to performance. Are we worried about servers going down and things like that? But there are also a lot of opportunities that aren't always taken to look for faults that may have some sort of a security implication. Let's look at repeated failed logins. Let's look at errors on the database server. Let's look for patterns like that. From a site availability standpoint, might not be something that folks are paying attention to, but from a security standpoint, from a security operations standpoint, do have potentially a lot of impact. So those are some areas where I think there are some low-hanging fruit things that could be done to help keep security teams better informed about what's going on and get them involved in potential bad situations earlier.
If you look at the SMEs, they're struggling to attract any security staff whatsoever. In fact, most of them are now becoming very dependent upon an MSSP. How do you engage the MSSPs in this world? Because security teams on site, great, here's some tools, we can all sit down, we can work out how we're going to use them together, and we can start to close those loops. MSSPs are off-site, they're not part of my team. They're looking at a whole different set of threat vectors and information. Can this close that loop?
There are some specialized security MSSPs that, especially when you look from a DevOps standpoint, where they potentially can look for the types of indicators that we talked about that are specific or app relevant. The organizations that do exceptionally well or that are exceptionally mature have some aspect of that in-house. It's just a requirement. If you look at DevOps and DevSecOps primarily as cultural changes in an organization, saying these used to be two different teams, now we're going to make these two teams work together because they have a common goal, and they both need to share and understand and to reach that common goal. It's really challenging when we look at DevSecOps stuff to carve parts of that out and turn that over to an MSSP. Which is not to say that MSSPs can't play a role, but when you look at who owns that MSSP, who's getting data from them, I think you need to have someone in-house who's controlling that relationship and understands what are we trying to get out of this technology that we've outsourced the operationalization to this MSSP. What are we looking to get out of this, and are we getting sufficient information sufficiently quickly that we can incorporate that into our DevSecOps thinking that we're doing as we're running these applications?
Getting that information quickly is fairly critical here, isn't it? Because we're talking about increasing the cadence of how we push applications out. That means we have short sprints, we fail often, we have security issues often, but we fix them before they become a bigger issue. Even with people on site, getting that right is a challenge. With somebody off site who's dealing with other customers, many of whom are likely to be bigger than we are, can we really expect them to jump into this and see this as a revenue stream?
For most MSSPs, when they're looking at the things that they can successfully outsource, they're identifying technologies or aspects of a security program where that type of separation is okay, or is not detrimental to the mission. You're also looking at the organizations that are the best customers. There are the ones that are potentially not pushing the technology that hard or that fast. And that's a bit of a broad generalization. But the organizations that we tend to work with at Denim Group derive a lot of value from the software that they're developing and also are very aware of the risks associated with that software. That's our view of the industry. And in a case like that, where the organizations have said, we need to be innovating more quickly, we need to be going faster, we need whatever. In a lot of cases, they're not looking to MSSPs. Maybe they are for infrastructure and patching for their IT or corporate networks, but they aren't, in my experience, typically looking at MSSPs for DevSecOps capabilities.
We focused here on the challenge of the IT empire, but we're now seeing an increasing amount of code coming in through low-code, no-code. We've seen JP Morgan require all of its analysts go through coding courses in order to be able to take advantage of analytics. We're seeing other companies taking exactly the same approach. We're constantly told at conferences that software's eating the world and everybody has to become a developer. How do we take test tools and make them so invisible but intrinsic to everything we do? Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we have so many breaches we're not going to know where to fix it.
the low-code, no-code providers have a good vantage point for certain aspects of security from a framework standpoint to handle things, input validation, output encoding, the basic blocking and tackling. Where things are more challenging is when you start to deal with the logic flaws, you know, authorization questions, who should be looking at this record, who shouldn't, some authentication, these business rules type things. I used to think that every developer needed to be a security expert, probably because I was a developer who had a level of expertise in security, but I've matured past that line of thinking. But I do think that there are some fundamental concepts that every developer needs to know about. That's the concept of what does it mean to authenticate? What does it mean to go through an authorization process? To ask those questions about the systems they're building. That's going to be a challenge because those are the more challenging skills to learn. If you look at people that are being run through, quote, coding classes for no-code, low-code stuff, I don't necessarily know if those concepts translate as readily into those environments. From a framework standpoint, a lot of the basics, the platforms can get right, but when it comes to questions of who should be able to look at this record, what sort of checks are being placed in there, that's a significant risk area for those systems that get exposed to potentially hostile populations.
If I was to ask you your top three challenges that you see for companies with security at the moment, what are they?
Top three. I would say the biggest challenge is the scale of the code that they're building. Just the scale of the problem. We have X number of millions plus lines of code that we've written. A lot of that hasn't been inspected from a security standpoint, so there's potential risk hiding out there, plus the new code that's coming in. Just the scale of the problem, I think, is really significant. I also think that the complexity of these systems is getting significantly more so in a way that a lot of even the developers don't understand. So if you look at going from, well, we used to have this monolithic giant J2EE application, now that's been blown up into 35 microservices that are spread across three clouds and a couple different providers. And I would say the third challenge is the allocation of scarce resources across those previous two domains, which is we've got this problem that's growing very quickly. We've got complexity that's growing very quickly. We have a budget, and that can be money and just the time of grown-ups that is available to work on these problems. That budget is not increasing geometric rate that we're seeing in those other two areas. And so that forces organizations to make challenging decisions. And I think that risk management thinking is not yet evolved to the point where we can reliably expect to make good decisions about resource allocation in those types of environments.
I'm not sure I see a lot of risk thinking going on full stop in organizations. Dan, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.